Good morning. Good to have everyone here together to worship our God and Father and to gather around the table as we did and to sing these songs of praises together. What a great blessing it is and such a blessing to be a part of this church family. I'm encouraged by each one of you and your lives that you're living and what you bring to the fellowship here and the impact you make on our community here in the name of Christ. This coming Saturday is a ladies' breakfast at 8:30. It's a potluck, so bring your items to eat there at 8:30 this Saturday here at the building for a ladies' breakfast. And also is our Relationships and Matters Conference with Jerry and Lynn Jones, February 9th through 12th. Your job today, last week everyone got one of these. If you haven't got one of these, we have 1,000 of these. Well, they're dwindling slowly, but gave everyone this week, and hopefully you read through this, studied through this, got to know what it's all about. And yet you're planning to be here for this, starting at 9:30 on that Sunday morning, all through Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night sessions, and so plan to be a part of that. But your job now, I said, you are our advertising committee. You are our getting the word out committee, every one of you. To take at least 5 or 10 of these, your job is to give out at least 5 or 10 of these this week to your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors. If you have a place of business, if you wouldn't mind taking a small stack of these, but the best is going to be ones that you give to people that you know of. Say, hey, join me. I'm planning to be a part of this, to go to this, and we'd love to have you join me at this wonderful conference. Jerry and Lynn Jones, if you've read through this, have presented this material to hundreds and hundreds of people around the country. It's a big deal, and many of you have heard them before. They've been here in the past. Some may have not. Many in our area don't know who they are. But your testimony of what it did for you then and what it can do now will be a great word and encouragement. You know, so I'm going to ask that we pray about this opportunity right now and that we seek the Lord in this. Let's pray together. Father God, we just want to seek you, God, and seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And we know all these things will be added unto us. And God, thank you for our leadership and for the Russells for putting this on our hearts, to the church to want to bring Jerry and Lynn Jones back to this area. God, I pray for them as they are preparing and planning and praying over us at our body and our community to bring their message of relationships that mirror your son, Jesus, Father, and wanting to hit on topics that maybe are hard to talk about, but that they're going to be willing to be used by you to impact our lives in that way. God, I pray for each member here that they will be dedicated to be a part of this, to be focused on their relationship with you and their relationship with others, and bless each one as they take some of these pamphlets and thinking of friends and neighbors to be prayerful for them. We pray for those who will come, whose lives will be touched, and they will do the hard work of considering how to better live in light of your son, Jesus, and God, all the different situations and relationships that we have, Father. Bless those who will come. Bless us as we have the courage to invite and continue to bless us and the opportunity we have to be a blessing to you, to each other, and in our community. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, how are you doing this morning? I was thinking of this song, Alive, Alert, Awake, Enthusiastic. I won't have us sing that song, but if you grew up in VBS or camp or the bus ministry at some point, I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I don't know how you are coming this morning, but I don't know if you've come this morning alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I don't know if you've come, if you feel like I'm here, just I'm alive. Maybe you feel like I'm surviving. But my desire this morning is that you will learn how to thrive. Because I don't know, many times, how are you doing this morning? You may say, well, I'm tired. I hope that you've come. Some of you look pretty well rested, that you've come rested. Or hope that you didn't come here from a late night last night. Hope you come ready to worship God this morning. Are you coming this morning hungry? Or are you coming having had a well-balanced diet of the Lord throughout the week? Have you come here just starving for another word, starving for prayer, starving for coming thirsty, or are you come having spent time throughout the week in prayer, in meditation on God's Word, active in serving and being generous throughout the week? Have you been practicing being a peacemaker in your relationships? Are you living daily by the Spirit? Are you alert and ready this morning? Or are you enthusiastic Or do you come here with a heavy burden? Are you burdened with life's worries? Are you burdened with choices you've made or things that hurts that people have done to you? Are you coming here just with another request or a guilt to unload? Or are you coming here free, having been set free, coming here with gratitude and thanksgiving and praise and eagerness to further your transformation into God's likeness? You're light on your feet this morning, comforted by your friend Jesus, walking daily with Him. Are you alive this morning? Are you alert? Are you enthusiastic? I hope this morning I want to give you some things that will help you thrive. Because we don't just want to be alive, and I'm glad you're alive, I'm glad you're here. And to be alert, and I hope I got your attention. But to be enthusiastic, to live a life that's on fire for God. We've been working through life's healing choices and living in recovery. And today's choice number 7 is focusing on maintaining momentum as we've been working through different choices and practices and steps of working through our hurts and our habits and our hang-ups. What do we do when we've accomplished some of those goals? What if we've repaired some relationships and we've surrendered our life to Christ and we get to this place and we want to maintain that? You know, this is that choice to choose good living, to choose to thrive. You know, the choice number 7 that we're going to look at today says to reserve a daily time with God for self-evaluation, for Bible reading, and prayer, in order to know God and His will for your life and to gain the power to follow His will. You know, one of the most difficult things about the Christian life is that it is so daily. It's something we have to do every day. It's not just something we do today, and I'm glad we're here to do it today. But how you feel today, are you alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic? Do you feel like you're thriving? Are you surviving? Are you just glad to be alive? It's based on how you're living every day. Are you choosing every day, like Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow me? Joshua, after he led the people into the land of captivity and they're ready to set up camp there and they've gone through all this journey, he says to this people, choose you this day whom you will serve. And I believe when he says that, and he's not just saying just choose you this day, and you chose that today, you never have to choose again. Jesus says take up your cross daily. It's a daily choice to choose that. And you may be at a place that, yeah, I'm alive today. I'm alert. I'm enthusiastic. I'm thriving. I've been living through these life-healing choices. I've been making these decisions. I've been surrendering my life. I've been knowing that I'm powerless on my own. I know He has the power, and I'm going to let Him. I'm confessing. I'm sharing with others. I'm giving my life to Christ, and I'm submitting to God's will, and I've been working through some of my relationships like we talked about last week. I'm seeking to be more forgiving and to say I'm sorry for those that I'm hurt. I'm striving to be a peacemaker, and I'm feeling good today. But what's going to keep you feeling good today? What's going to keep you in that life of thriving? It's going to be by choosing daily and taking up your cross daily and following Him. It's not just a moment with a life of following Christ. It's a movement. It's not just a choice, and yes, there's choices to make, but choosing a lifestyle of living like Jesus. It's not just something you believe, but it's got to be a behavior, a way of living. And that way of living is possible. Because if we don't, without a daily time with God, you will face complacency. You will face complacency. You'll feel comfortable. I mean, it's good to be working so hard to get to a place of good health or good relationships, but sometimes we can get too comfortable. We kind of just sit back in our easy chair and go, ah. But we stop doing all the work and all the things that got us to that place. We stop working, we stop praying, and we start settling for little reduced, oh, that's not as bad as I've been through. I've been more than that. We gain back a few more pounds, or we slip back into a few more habits. We forget the work of sharing with God and sharing with others. We forget the choices that we've made. We stop pursuing peace. We forget about being forgiving. We become complacent. You know, once you get to the top of the mountain, there's another side. And so we have to focus on a daily walk with God, or else we can become complacent. We also can be very confused. We forget about
how bad life was without God. How often do we get to a place, or maybe God gets us to a place, if you've been going through these choices, you go, ah, look what I've done. Look how good I have worked, or look at the result. But we forget that it was God. We forget that first choice of blessed are the poor in spirit, that I can't do anything on my own. We forgot that the blessed are those who mourn, who realize I can't, but God can, and so I'll let Him. And we get confused, and we believe that, oh, look at me, I can do this on my own. And we begin trusting in our own power and our own abilities, which leads to us to compromise. We can begin to go back and to let a little bit of bad habits in our lives. We say, well, I can associate with those people again. I can hold strong. I can still do those activities. I can still follow those desires and still hold this good position. But as we become, if we're not walking daily with the Lord, we're going to feel complacent, we're going to be confused, we're going to compromise, and then it's going to lead back to another catastrophe. We'll back into our hurts and our habits and our hang-ups. So this choice today is to reserve a time to evaluate. How are you today? How are you physically? How are you feeling? What is your body telling you? How are you emotionally today? How are you feeling, really? What about your relationships? Are your relationships at peace? Is there forgiveness? What about spiritually? Where was God yesterday? Where is God tomorrow? Where are you with God today? Are you alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic? What does your daily time with God, we're asking, look like? Because that's what will lead to a life that thrives. A life that is in line with what God desires for your life. This series has come from, backed by the teachings of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes, where He says, blessed are those who mourn and those who poor in spirit, and take a little step back on this for this choice to a psalm. In Psalm 1:1-3, that says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his or her delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he or she meditates day and night. He or she is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he or she does, prospers. Blessed is the one who's not walking in the way of the wicked, but whose delight is in the Lord. It says that daily meditates on the law of the Lord. And look at that image of a tree planted by water. A water that's drinking deeply each and every day. That's a life that thrives, a life that produces fruit, and who stands strong and prospers. So this morning, I want to give you three practices or three disciplines for your life to thrive. Now, two of these you may have heard before. You know, I've taught a lot of students and a lot of adults. You know, I asked a group, you know, what are some good things you should do to grow in your faith or to grow as a Christian? You probably can name them. Pray, read your Bible, and go to church, right? If you don't know that, that's what you should do. Am I telling you this the first time? You know, pray, read your Bible, and go to church. But I want to look at them a little closer in some of those disciplines. And they are disciplines. There are things that we know we should do, but yet how are we doing those? Those are things we know. Those are the strategies, but is our plan working out? And based on how you answered the first question, how are you feeling today? Are you alive? Are you alert? Are you enthusiastic? Do you feel like you're just surviving? Are you just living? Or you feel like you're thriving? It's going to be based on how well you're living daily and taking up your cross, making the hard decisions and doing the hard work of, first of all, meditating on God's Word. Yes, this involves reading it. So, well, this is, what do we mean? Read God's Word. What do you mean by meditate on God's Word? Yes, we need to read the words, but not just to read the words and say, look it, I read those words. I mean, how many of you have ever been disciplined in reading the Bible throughout the Word, but you can't tell me anything about what it said? Because you're just checking off boxes and just reading words and say, I read all the words. And that's a good practice, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. It's good to know the whole Bible, the whole story. But I want to challenge you with daily meditating on God's Word. To not just read it, but to stop and to chew on it. To stop and to really take it in. This is the practice of reverse worrying. I mean, how many of you worried yesterday? How many of you are worrying right now? That's something we don't have to practice. We just will do that, right? But what does worry do? That we spend time dwelling on the negative, or the doubts, or the fears. We chew on those negative thoughts over and over. And so to meditate on God's Word is to take God's Word, which is positive, which is uplifting, which is food for our soul, and to meditate and to worry on it, to chew on it. To eat it slowly and to drink deeply. Like that image from the psalm that says, like a tree planted by streams of water. See, when you're planted by the water source, you don't have to drink a lot at one time. You can drink slowly because you're there connected. See, we get away from the stream of water. We come a-running, and we're just thirsty, and we gulp, and we gulp, and we may even choke ourselves drinking it. So, you ever drink from a water hose? I mean, you need that, and you just take it in, but then it just kind of almost makes you sick. Maybe even take your breath away. And so, this meditating is drinking deeply, where Jesus says, I am the living water. To slow down and spend time with God's Word, to read it, to listen to it, to hear it, to chew on it, and to memorize it. When was the last time you memorized a scripture? I know many of you probably have many scriptures in your hearts because you memorize them. See, they get into our minds and they get into our hearts, and then when we need them, they come out. They make us prosperous and healthy and strong, able to resist. Blessed are those who do not sit in the way of the wicked. How are we going to know how to resist that? What is wicked and what is right? By having those words in our heart after having meditated on God's Word. Like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season, whose leaves do not wither, and whatever he or she does prospers. See, meditating daily on God's Word, what it'll do to us, it'll bear fruit out of our lives. Like that tree planted by water, it's very prosperous, and you know it's drinking from that good source because of the fruit that it's bearing. And the signs and the results of a thriving life will be a life that's healthy and that is growing, a life that's strong and that is prosperous, one that has the ability to provide blessings to others. That's what the image of this tree that bears fruit. It does not wither. Its branches go out so that others may rest and find shade and find life under that tree. Joshua, who we quoted at the end of Joshua, who said, choose you this day whom you serve, at the beginning of the conquest, he says in Joshua 1, 7 and 8, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to obey everything that's written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You see, this continual message of what's going to help my life thrive. But those who followed Jesus knew that it was God's Word that gave life. Joshua says it, and Jesus says it. We know when Jesus was tempted in the desert, after being tempted, of course he's hungry, because that's the way of the evil one. He knows when we're at our weakest. Jesus had not eaten for 40 days, so of course he's hungry, and where's the devil attacked? At that weakness. He says, "You turn this bread into stone," and Jesus says, because he had the scriptures, because he meditated on God's Word, because he had to memorize them. You go, wait a minute, Jesus, he already knew them all. He didn't have to do that work. Yes, he did. He grew up in a Jewish household that honored God's Word, that put those words to memory. And when that challenge came, he says, it is written, Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. These words gave him strength because he was disciplined in God's word. His life thrived and brought life. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, as was already read in our scripture this morning, this was Moses recounting the law for the followers and after the Exodus. And he says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you, and this is where Jesus quoted, that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, meditating on God's word is our food. It is real food. Just like we eat today, and we're going to look forward to eating again, and we're going to eat tomorrow, knowing all the benefits. And we eat day after day, and we experience it again and again. You know, if the food is good, we consume it. And we consume it, and we eat joyfully. I challenge you this morning to look at God's Word with joy and anticipation. You know the benefits. Maybe you've had a good discipline about that. And you know the blessings of that. To get back into it. You know, the Word of God is our food. But yet, reading it every day can become a challenge. You know, we know that's something. I'm not telling you something you've not ever heard before. I mean, what are you supposed to do to grow in Christ? To keep your faith? Be reading God's Word. So maybe your strategy needs to change. Maybe you need a different plan to get on. You know, there's a lot of technology out there. You know, some of you like to hear things. You know, have the Bible read to you. Hear it audibly. When you're going along the road, when you're driving your car, to have it played. There's Bible apps and there's recordings or CDs or whatever. Some of you may still have cassette players that put those on audio tracks to hear God's Word. And really, the God's Word was intended to be heard more than it was even intended to be read. We're blessed to be a literate society. You know, it wasn't very long in the world where most everybody could read. Most people heard the Word of God being read to them. And so to hear that. You know, we need a different strategy. But we also do need to eat all of it. We need to eat all of God's Word. We need to know the context of the whole story of God. And you go, wow, how am I going to do that? I know there's some here that are very religious Bible readers that have read the Bible year after year after year. And maybe some of you have tried that at the beginning of the year. So I'm going to read the Bible through this year, but as soon as, you know, a few days go by, we get behind, and how am I ever going to catch up? But it's not just always about a year, it's about a life. It's not even just about a life, it's about today. We need all of it. You know, actually someone, maybe they started the clock and started reading. I know there have been groups that have said, we're going to read the Bible continuously from now until it takes. Everyone's going to take an hour, we're going to read this thing. Well, someone figured it out. It takes about 80 hours to read the whole Bible. About 80 hours to read the whole Bible. That's possible in just 1 or 2 hours a week of Bible reading. And we need to experience the Bible with others. I mean, how many of you like to eat with other people? I mean, that's one of the things we do to get together. Hey, come over, let's eat. Or let's go out to eat. You know, Bible reading can be something that we do together with others in community. You know, there's a man, Bill Huang, who works for New York Times. You know, at the New York Times offices, there are people who take time off of their lunch time and have a place for open, audible Bible reading with others in the New York Times building. They spend time just reading out loud the scriptures. And see, when we experience God's Word, just like when we experience food with others, it becomes a vehicle for God's work in our world. I want to have you go to that video. In honor of Martin Luther King Jr.'s day tomorrow, I want to play. Go ahead and get over there. Play this video. And his life was impacted by God's Word. And look at the impact his life has made on ours.
I'm sure you've heard this. This is the argument that only time can solve the problem of racial injustice. Only time can bring integration into being. Just be nice and Just be patient and wait 100 or 200 years and the problem will work itself out. I think that is an answer to that myth. And that is that time is neutral. It can be used either constructively or destructively. And I'm absolutely convinced that in so many instances, the forces of ill will in our nation, the extreme righteous of our nation, have used time much more effectively than the forces of goodwill. And it may well be that we will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic words and the violent actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence and indifference of the good people who sit around and say, wait on time. Somewhere we must come to see that human progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and the persistent work of dedicated individuals who are willing to be co-workers with God. And without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the primitive forces of social stagnation. And so it is necessary to help time and to realize that the time is always ripe to do right. With this faith, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the word, the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
What influenced his words? God's word. Where did that message come from? From the belief of God. Scripture influenced and became a witness to others. When we read God's word and take it in and read it in community, it can become the vehicle for God's work in our world. Jesus says in his prayer, the Lord's prayer, give us this day our daily bread. So the first thing is to meditate on God's word. To thrive, you need to be eating and drinking right. Second, be disciplined in prayer. A discipline is any activity you can do by direct effort that will eventually enable you to do that which currently I cannot do by direct effort. A spiritual discipline accesses God's power and the Holy Spirit. To do activity by the Holy Spirit you cannot do on your own, by intentional habit you will be able to do. I love the story of the prophet Daniel, who has been in service in Babylonian captivity to King Darius, and all the officials are becoming jealous of his influence and his power, and the only way they can find a way to find any corruptness into it is to develop a law that would stop something that he was doing every day. They realized he was a man of disciplined prayer. And so they went to Darius and said, hey, here's a good idea, Darius. For the next 30 days, we should make a law or an edict in this land that no one should pray to any god except to you. And if you're a god or an edict at that time, you say, hey, that sounds pretty good. I want all the prayers coming my way. So he makes this command. But then Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, says, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. And we know that Jesus was a man of prayer. He taught on prayer. He took time to pray. What is your practice of prayer? Where do you take time in your day? Well, I want to invite you to join. It's starting today, actually. Some of you have already been along this journey with me and some others. But one of my professors, he has this site called EffectiveChurchLeaders.com. I encourage you to go there. But I've also made some copies. It's a discipline that involves Bible reading, meditating on God's Word, and praying. I want to use this as a strategy. If you're needing for a new strategy and realizing, I know I should be doing these things, maybe this one will help. It's been very helpful to me. We've been on a little break right now. We've gone through several books of the Bible with this practice, and we stopped a little bit for December, and I've gotten out of my daily eating of God's Word. I'm feeling a little thirsty. You asked me, Brian, how are you doing today? I said, well, I'm alive, but I'm kind of a little hungry. I haven't been eating like I was, because this is a discipline I've been waiting for. You know, you ever do a discipline for a while, and then you're like, oh, I stop. And you're like, maybe I should find something else and keep doing this. Well, this EffectiveChurchLeaders.com has this praying. Right now we're going to be doing Luke, praying Luke. And what it is a method of reading God's Scripture every day, meditating on it, rewriting it again. It's a three-column approach, and then praying a prayer based on that. And it's also set up in community. There's a community online. There's a Facebook page for it. You can post your prayers there and read other people's prayers and comment to encourage you. But also, I made a copy of this on the back. It's very small print. It came out in 5 pages. I don't want to give everyone 5 pages. I can give you a bigger version of that if this would be helpful. But there's the whole program. And you go, reading through the book of Luke, that might take a while. And it's going to take a while. It's going to slow down. This actually goes from January 19th today to May 15th. Every day, being disciplined, meditating on God's Word, and disciplined in prayer. So that's the second one. Be disciplined in prayer. And the third, go to church. Can you click the next one? This button stopped working. Maybe you stopped working. We froze it up. Next one is to learn to Sabbath. Learn to Sabbath. Learn to stop. Learn to rest. Learn to worship. Because what Sabbath is something that was created by God. In the creation account, we know that God created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day, He rested. And on that day, He blessed it and made that day holy. Why? Because God rested to delight in the world and the lives of all that He created, and everything that He created. There's a man, Dan Allender, wrote on this Sabbath. He says, the Sabbath is an invitation to enter delight. The Sabbath, when experienced as God intended, is the best day of our lives. Without questions or thought, it's the best day of the week. It's the day we anticipate on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and the day we remember Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday to make it holy, to make a full day of delight and joy. In the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses to give the people, this is the only discipline that He gives in all those commands. He gives this command in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Make the practice of stopping and resting and worshiping Me. See, this was an important command because when the Israelites were in Egypt, there was no day off. They were slaves. They worked every single day. And you think, well, how does that work? Does that produce more success? Does that more productivity? Does that advance the kingdom? Well, it was that method of working nonstop, never taking a rest for God, goes against the grain of all creation, goes against the creator of the cosmos who created and worked on 6 days and took a day off. Where during the French Revolution, they tried to boost productivity by switching to a 10-day work week. I'm like, well, how does that work? A week is only 7 days. No, you're going to work for 10 days straight before you have any time off. And you think, well, that's going to produce a lot more productivity. Actually, the economy crashed, depression and suicide rose, and productivity plummeted. There was zero correlation towards being in a hurry and working more than with productivity. About 55 hours a week is about the limit, and that's about a 6-day work week. No more productivity it happens between working 55 hours a week and 70 hours a week. So he's saying, I encourage you to learn to Sabbath. Learn to find times to stop and to rest. Not just to stop and sleep, but that's anybody alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic? How is your body today? Ask that question at the beginning. Sleep is important, but not just to stop and do nothing or do it all for you, but to spend time, to have time with God. To maybe even find that as a daily practice. to stop and rest and give time for God. Because how many times do you stop? I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. And while you're doing that, you're thinking about so many other things. Or you got the TV on. You got all these other things happening. You're not really Sabbathing. You're not really resting. You're not really focusing, pointing all of your life to Jesus. This involves being content. Being content that enough is enough. I am blessed. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, 12 through 13. He says, I know what it's like to be in need. Do you know what it's like to be in need? He says, I know what it's like to have plenty. Do you know what it's like to have plenty? I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether hungry or well-fed, whether living in plenty or in want. And because he Sabbaths, I believe, because he understands that, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Where does he give you your strength? In times of rest and worship. He didn't give you strength when you're just going and going and going and going. I can do all things through Christ when I'm content with know for whom all things, all these blessings come, to take time for him, to slow down. John Mark Comer just read this book. Someone gave him this book over Christmas, and it came at a great time. A book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. He says, this is how you can Sabbath. This is how you can slow down. Drive the speed limit. The posted speed limit. Not the one that you can drive that you won't get busted. I'm guilty of that. I drive about 62 in a 55. He says, no, drive a 55. Go in the slow lane. Come to full and complete stops. No California rolls. Show up 10 minutes early to your appointments. Get in the longest checkout line. What? Definitely if you get in a line, don't switch lanes. That never works. He says, turn your smartphone into a dumb phone. Just turn it back into a phone. He goes so far as says, take off your email, take off your social media, take off your web browser, leave that to your computer. May your phone just be a dumb phone. Turn off notifications, turn off the alerts. Parent your phone, he says. Put it to bed. Have a bedtime for it at 8 o'clock. Put it to bed and don't pick it up again until you've had your time with God. Don't turn it on again until you've had that quiet time with God of meditating on God's Word, praying through His Word, praying to Him. He says, set time limits. When you check your email, email is important. Your connections through social media. Now, that's how I connect with a lot of people. But set a time to do email and clear it out so you have zero on that email. Some of you are like, whoa, I got to get a whole new email box. Some of you have thousands of emails you're not opening. I know you do. He says, set time limits for social media. Walk slower. Take up journaling. Take a day of silence and solitude. Take long vacations. Actually, use up all your vacation days. He says, if you can, put them all in one big lump. If you get 3 weeks, take 3 weeks off so that you can Sabbath, you can rest, you can slow down and be with God to let your soul catch up with your body. Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man, not the man for Sabbath. To thrive, you need to rest, and you need to worship daily, weekly, and yearly. How are you doing this morning? Are you alive? Alert? Awake? Barely. Are you feeling complacent? Are you confused? Going back to some old ways, are you compromising or is your life kind of in a catastrophe mode? Are you planted daily by living streams of water? Don't be complacent. Be disciplined in God's Word. Be disciplined in prayer. Be disciplined in your rest, in your Sabbath, in your time with God. Be committed to God and a community who supports and promotes that type of lifestyle. Reserve a daily time with God. It's going to start with God. So this morning you say, well, I'm kind of far from God, so maybe you need to come back to God. Maybe you need to come to God for the first time and come and confess and make that choice and give your life to Christ, to meet Christ in the waters of baptism, having all those sins and burdens washed away, to rise with the Holy Spirit, because that's the only strength you're going to have to be able to endure, to thrive, to continue daily taking up your cross and following Him. To come together and walk with others. You don't have to walk alone. We can journey along together. And to walk daily. If we can help you in any way this morning, like to respond to the invitation, please come now as we stand and sing.